This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello people, welcome to another live Palace Focus. I'm Dean, I'm joined by Stan here. T will also be joining us soon to talk about all the latest with Palace. And of course, we're going to be talking about the Brighton game and also looking ahead to the Leicester game as well. As always, if you're watching this on demand or replay, wherever you want to see it, let us know in the comments down in the comment section down below what you thought about the game and what you think about our opinions, whether you agree or disagree with them. We'll try to reply back to you. And if you're here live with us, if you do enjoy it, make sure to hit the like button and subscribe so you don't miss out on future content. I've got a smile on my face, but in all honesty, Stan, after yesterday's game and the way that it ended with the result 1-1, I can't even watch post-match interviews because it just annoys me. The game was at our hands. It was a 95th minute, disappointing to concede in the last second of the game, literally. But what did it make of the game overall? I thought it was a solid Palace performance, but it was just the result that was disappointing.
I thought we were excellent for 94 and a half minutes. Even 95, we were excellent. And then two mistakes. Well, you know what? There was three mistakes in the game. And those mistakes cost us. We can talk about, like, I know that people on here are going to defend him, whatever. Jordan Ayew needs to get the fuck out of this team. He needs to get out of this club. Steve Parrish and Dougie Friedman need to call him into their office today and say, rip his contract up in front of his face and pay him up. Off you go, mate. You're not good enough, mate. He wouldn't even get a game at Sunderland. He won't score goals in League One. He's washed. He's a car horse, mate. He's rubbish.
But are you saying that due to the chance that he missed, did he actually have that much of a bad performance yesterday?
He cost us the game, mate. He's, look at him. Look at the stats for him. One successful pass, I think, or one attacking pass successfully made. Apart from that, nothing, mate. He runs into blind alleys. He passes sideways here and there. He's got no pace on him. And he couldn't hit a barn door, mate. He could not hit a barn door. So, in my opinion, you got to get rid of him. Like, he hasn't scored. He hasn't had a meaningful contribution in over a year to a game. A goal or an assist or anything. He hasn't had a meaningful contribution to a game in over a year. And that's what it is, mate. That is where... that's it.
I wanted to start with the positives, but let's start this Jordan Ayew chat then. So, as you're talking about Ayew, were there anyone else in the lineup that you was thinking, maybe they shouldn't have started, or is it just the case of Ayew? And why do you think Vieira is starting him then? As you've been saying, he hasn't scored that many goals. And I think Vieira said it after the game as well, how he needs to try and bring his confidence back. But why do you think he's forcing him? Because personally, there had to be one change in this game. And I said it before, and I'm not just talking about Ayew's chance. You can look at my tweets before. I said that Jordan Ayew needs to be dropped for Olis. Due to the fact that, you know, Olis is just a better player. Whenever he's come on, even against Liverpool and our last home game against Tottenham as well, when he's come on, he just looked brilliant. Like, he hasn't had anything wrong with his game. So he needs to start for us. But there were some people saying that Ayew's work ethic is so great that he needs to start.
No.
If it was under Roy Hodgson, I would understand the work ethic comments because, you know, we were defensive and you needed to work hard to go and get that clean sheet. But as a football club, I reached this stage where we're not going to grow if we keep talking about work ethic being the reason for a player to start. You give me the fitness coach, and trust me, I'll run for 90 minutes as well. We act like Jordan Ayew is flash on drugs. Like, he's normal. He works. He works like everyone else. He's not running all over the pitch.
If I played for Palace, I'd work hard. I wouldn't do much, but I would work hard. The reason Olise's not in is I just think they're trying to get him up to speed. The Derby game is a big game to bring him in, okay? I'm not going to cuss Vieira too much on this. If he continues to persevere with Ayew, then obviously my opinion's going to change. But honestly, I don't know what Ayew's doing at this football club. I don't know what he's doing at this football club. I would have marched him into the office this morning. I'm going to go, there's your freaking contract, mate. Get out. That's it. There's your $1 million, £1 million for the season. Get out. That's what
Don't you think he'll be good off the bench, though? No. Like, just no. for a contribution, last 10, 15 no. minutes of a game?
No. Nothing.
He's got the experience. Doesn't but why? But why? Why? Why wouldn't he?
He's not up to the standard of the Premier League. Mate, I would have put that away yesterday.
That's frustrating, but that's only one chance.
And I'm 36 years old and about a stone overweight, mate. But I would have put that away. Or I would have squared it to Wilf. Do you know what I mean? So, like I said, there was two other mistakes in that game that cost us. But Ayew is, like, he needs to be held accountable for that. And he should not be playing in the Premier League. And I've said this for months. Mate, even when he had his 10 or 11 goal season, he was rubbish. Okay?
No, you can't say that. We had this debate with you and I had this debate with you and T before as well. He wasn't rubbish. In that season, without Ayew and Vicente Guaita, which we're going to be talking about, in that season where we scored only 31 goals and we stayed up, without Ayew's contributions, we would not be in the Premier League right now. I don't think we will be in the Premier League right now. You talk about 9 or 10 goals, but them 9 or 10 goals out of 31 is significant.
How many of them were like lucky rebound,
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. When Ronaldo scores a goal, no one talks about him being a lucky rebound. But that's what Ayew was doing as well. He was a clinical finisher in that season. He was at the right. Also, in that season, when he scored that goal against West Ham, running past three or four of their players, that was not clinical finisher. He turned into Messi. That season,
one goal, mate.
But he contributed. We're not here right now talking about the Brighton game, probably, because we're probably not in the Premier League.
Two goals, one against Watford and one against West Ham. The other two was always like dink off the keeper, dink off this, dink off that. Mate, he's rubbish. We've backed him till the end. Get rid of him. He's rubbish, mate.
But I feel like you're being too harsh on him. I don't think he's good enough to start. And I said this just a minute or two ago as well. I think Olise should have started. And we saw why. And it was kind of... Let's talk about Olise in particular as well here. Because when Ayew did go off, Jeffrey Schluck came on. What is going on with the Olise situation? Do you think Vieira just... not trying to put him in too quickly, trying to give him some time?
I think he's trying to work him in. I think he's going to start the next game, personally. I personally do. It's going to be him or Schluck, but Olise is going to get more game time. Just like, we've just got to believe that. You know what, though? When Schluck come on, he did nothing. He did absolutely nothing when he came on. But, mate, I can't get over that miss. At 1-0, that miss kills the game. It's done. Do you know what I mean? I can't, like... I come home fuming last night and I'm still fuming this afternoon at that miss.
I'm mad as well. As I said, I can't watch any post-match interviews or even highlights because it's like, how on earth didn't we go and win that game? But now we talked about Ayew and Olise, I want to go and move on to the positives. Joachim Anderson yesterday was perfect. Brilliant. And fantastic. We can talk about Mark Gray for the goal that we conceded, but both of them, I feel, throughout the game, were very solid. And what is it that makes them so good? Is it the passing? It feels like the all-round game is just on point.
Mate, I just think that they're better players. Like, did you see at the start of the first half, Anderson, he was, I think, on the right-hand touchline and he was under a bit of pressure from Welbeck and he just calmly Cruyff-turned it, pinged it across the other side. And like Scott Dan does that, he ends up in hospital. Do you know what I mean? Right? But I'm just saying that they are, both of them are an upgrade, like a massive, massive upgrade. And we've been talking about this for weeks now. Like, he was, Anderson especially, is like, he's 25 years old, experienced player, Premier League, Serie A, international footballer, and he's a baller, mate. Like, he can play ball.
Have you been surprised? Have you been surprised by his performances so far?
No, because I saw him last season for Fulham, and he was on loan and he was captain. That's how good he was, mate.
Yeah, he was captain after 2 games whilst being on loan.
Not surprised.
Which is actually mental.
Not surprised at all, to be honest. Mm. Not at all.
Well, we'll be reading out some of the comments. Jay says, Ratsaki needs to start ahead of IU, has bags of potential and offers something different. Well, just quickly going back to that chat, Ratsaki, how does he fit in? I said this before in Live Palace Focus, and I've said it in my match reactions as well. Ratsaki is a player that we shouldn't sleep on as a fan base and as a football club. I genuinely believe that he has talent, and I genuinely believe that he can offer something right now. But if you're Patrick Vieira, there's no way he drops IU that much that he's not going to be in a matchday squad, right? For Ratsaki.
Mate, you know what? I don't know if Ratsaki should be starting, but I think he should be in the squad ahead of IU. IU is actually blocking the development of two very, very good young players. So that's another reason to just bring him into Dougie's office or Parrish's office, rip up his contract, pay him up.
All right, let's not talk about IU anymore. You're just on his case after what happened yesterday.
Mate, he's been rubbish about his contract.
He shouldn't have started, but maybe he has a role off the bench. I don't think he'll be that bad for us. You know, he can do something. He's still got something in him to, you know, a good 15, 20 minutes off the bench to offer something maybe when we're behind or maybe if we're winning games. As everyone talks about his work ethic, maybe he can show that work ethic in the last 15, 20 minutes. I don't think it's that bad that we have to release Jordan Ayew after one miss yesterday.
And like I said, the player ratings, you got to give him a one. He's a one, mate. He's one out of 10, one. And he's been one out of 10 for the past 18 months. Because he's that bad.
Well, look, let's move on. We talked about Joachim Andersen. We'll be continuing talking about some players as well. Reading out your comments whilst doing so. I thought yesterday, going to one of the decisions, the penalty one, Conor Gallagher, I thought it was a clear decision. Penalty, yeah, find a penalty. Wolf on the score sheet once again. And DC celebration.
You know what? I was like 30 seconds away from posting it, like chirping, like, a load of Brighton fans as well, like with the, you know, but obviously they had the last laugh. Mate, Wilf was great yesterday. Excellent. Run them ragged, caused them problems. Like I said, the one thing I will say, they had a penalty shout up their end and Glenn Murray was a pundit in Canada for The Zone. And I'll tell you, anyone who thinks he's a Palace legend, my Lord, you should have seen the bias for Brighton that he had. He was saying they've been cheated, they've been this, they've been that.
Seriously?
Yeah, mate. He's Judas Brighton scum and he always will be in my mind anyway, but you know what I mean? He was like, absolutely, he said nothing good about Palace yesterday.
Jeez. I didn't, well, of course, I was at the game, so I haven't watched him and I'm not also in America, but yeah, he's always, I guess he ended it with Brighton. He went back there, but I don't know. At Palace, he's done his thing as well, so It's a bit weird for him to choose a side, but if he wants to go support Brighton, go ahead. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. It's done anyways. Apparently, CJ heard that as well from Murray, and I think PP said that as well. Now, let's talk about the main incident, another incident that cost us a goal. Oh, my days. I was going to record a live match reaction, and I just couldn't do it because I was just so furious. It was so annoying to see us concede in that manner because it's happened before and happened back in the 2019 season, I think, where we're talking about, you know, how I scored 10 goals or 9 goals that season. It happened in that season as well, where it was the last minutes of the game and I can't remember what game it was and we just didn't keep the ball and it was a ceiling mistake.
It was last season.
No, it was the season before that. I'm pretty sure it was in last season. I was at the ground. I might have been against Villa at home or something like that. And we conceded a last minute goal. And then after that, we learned from it. We made sure that we were the best team in the league in time wasted after that in around the 90th minute. Yesterday, once again, look, I want to talk about Vicente Guaita because it's been on my mind and people from back of the net also know this as well. I don't think he's been the same goalkeeper this season.
No, not at all, mate.
Take away even the last mistake. I don't think he's... I personally haven't been confident with him in goal. And I'm not too sure what it is. But do you know maybe... Is it Patrick Vieira? Is it just he's out of form? What has it been this season where he hasn't been 100% convincing? Because there's no way that I could sit here and say that it is the same Vicente Guaita that we've seen from previous seasons.
Was he not player of the year last year as well?
Yeah. Like, it's confused. He's not playing on them levels.
This is what I say to you. As a former goalie as well.
You was a goalie.
Yeah, mate.
How many goals did you concede this season?
Too many, bruv.
Too many.
But anyway, so I will tell you this, like, goalkeeping has changed so much. He's a bit of a Roy Hodgson keeper. Like, he's not a Wayne Hennessy or like a big lump goalkeeper. But
no one wants to be Wayne Hennessy, I'll tell you that. Yeah. That's not a good comparison. No one wants to be a Wayne Hennessy.
You know what? He's not a play with your feet distribution type of goalkeeper. He's not. Mm. He's a lump it upfield, you know, make a, you know, a bit of shot stopping here, a bit of shot stopping there type of keeper. He's been great the past couple of years. But yesterday, mate, that's a goal kick. This the last kick of the game. If kick it out for a fucking throw-in, bruv. Kick it out for a throw-in. Whatever. He's mad. He's obviously, he scuffed the kick. Guay's gone to sleep on the halfway line. And they've gone up the other end and they've come back and scored. I mean, it's just, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I don't understand as well. You know what? Even if you're... It's one of the things where it's the 95th minute. Just take a yellow card. Don't kick it. Just take a yellow card. Then afterwards, kick it. The referee... This is what Maupé said. He said that the referee said that there's 1 minute left. If Vicente took another 15 to 30 seconds... He's going to get that yellow card. The referee's going to write it. That minute is gone. Do you get it? Like, he's not going to... It's not going to be a case of he gets a yellow card every game. He's not going to get a five-match ban because... How goalkeepers rarely get cards in the first place. It's one of the things that with experience, of course, he miskicked it and Guay could have done better than that. And
you
know
what
that.
I would have done as well, if I was Coyote, I would have gone for Maupay. I know that he was quick ahead of him, but I would have just like, literally like just lunged at him and I would have took the red card. Just take the red card.
No. I can't say that. No, Guay could have done better, but you can't say go and take the red card. It's the 95th minute. Like, you're not going to... If you take the red card in that... He shouldn't have to take the red card. But that should be stopped as it is.
Like, go and take... Do you know what I mean? In that situation, though, I'm taking the red card. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm taking it because there's enough players on the bench to cover for Coyote and we come back with 3 points. Take the red card.
What's going on? Look, we've been... I don't know how 17 minutes has gone by already, but we're talking about everything about Brighton. I know you're late to the party, but quickly, let's have your thoughts before you join in with the chat about Guaita and the last goal.
Well, boys, I've had, about 24 hours to think about this. Vicente fucking Guaita. Just put the ball right.
But what do you make of the performance though? I think that was positive.
Just kick it out for a corner. Whatever. Honestly. Give him a corner, whatever. Like, because they wouldn't have scored from it. The clock runs down.
But Deed, to talk about the performance was great, man.
Fantastic.
We dominated that game. Like, there was even like honestly. With the reality of being up 1-0 and knowing that, of course, one goal ties it, which it did. Prior to that, the feeling of being up 1-0 felt like being up 3-0 because I never felt like they were threatening us to score a goal. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and that says a lot about how we were playing defensively and how we were controlling the ball in possession. So, but it hurts, though, because to have that good of a performance to – be that convincing overall, but only to get 1 point out of it is
frustrating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just frustrating. It feels like a loss. But now you're in. Now you've shared your thoughts about the game overall. Let's jump back into the Guaita situation. So, T, Do you think Jack Butland deserves a chance now? Because there, with the previous goalkeepers, look, I'll be honest, with Wayne Hennessy, he wasn't promising by any means. I don't think Guaita had proper competition. But Jack Butland, he's not old. He's still fairly young. He's probably around his peak
at one point.
Yeah, do you think he deserves a chance? Because if it's not now, and when is it going to be?
I mean, here's the thing. Did we not already have conversation about this same topic prior to Vicente's performance yesterday?
Yeah.
We had already been having this conversation. So, I think it's definitely something that Patrick Vieira and his coaching staff are having a conversation about this week. Let's say that.
Do you think he'll pull the trigger?
Top of the conversation.
Do you think he will do something like that though? Because it will have a big impact. If you're first team goalkeeper and your manager takes you out after a mistake like that in the 95th minute, that could impact his confidence as well. So it's not going to be an easy decision for Patrick Vieira. If you're Vieira, would you go and actually say to him, you know what, I have to drop you, is Jack Butland's chance? Or do you just say, you have another go? Because it can go sideways from there onwards. It depends on how Vicente reacts to that. If he reacts negatively, then it can have a long impact on him.
I mean, I think the thing you have to think about, man, these are professional athletes, and their job is to produce. And if you're not playing well over a span of games, you got to be willing to deal with the consequences that come from that. You know, I mean, it would be the same topic of conversation for a outfield player. If they weren't producing in their position, not playing well, Patrick would probably sub them out, and it happens. But, you know, you would hope that if he does make that move, that it wouldn't completely crush Vicente's confidence, but more make him say, okay, man, I need to get back to the drawing board. I need to figure out what I'm doing wrong. I need to better myself. You know, if he does crumble under the pressure, then maybe that's a sign. You know what I mean? Maybe that's a sign that we need to do something different. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, talking about Vieira, I just want to give him a shout out to him, because in this game, for the first time in the last 3 to 4 years, we dominated Brighton. I felt tactically 100%. He got it spot on. And lots of people are going to be talking about the mistakes. Lots of people are going to be talking about individual performances. But if we're talking about tactics, Graham Potter versus Patrick Vieira, yesterday there was only one winner, and it was Vieira. And there's no debate about that. We pressured Brighton. They couldn't get out their own half at times. When they did have opportunities, there weren't any clear-cut chances. Apart from maybe the Welbeck situation, I think it was in the first half. Apart from that, they didn't have anything that I was really worried about. We were in total control for the whole 90 minutes. Once again, we face an opposition that's above us. That's, I think, in the top six or top eight. Brighton could have, if Brighton won this game, they could have went first. Against a team that started good, exactly. Hey. And we managed to do well against them. So shout out to Patrick Vieira. What did you guys think of the tactics yesterday and how it set up?
That's another topic of conversation. Like, their fans are now, like, they think they're top draw, excellent side. Like, you could have gone top of the league and you went to Selhurst Park and you played like that. You got a lot.
But we deserve respect as well. Yeah. We made them play like that, Stan. Absolutely. We made them play like that. And in a way, teams and I think neutral fans are starting to respect us a bit more. You look at our fixture list. None of our games have been easy. The teams that we've lost against, Chelsea.
We haven't played one team that has been lower than 10th in the table this whole season.
Yeah, the team that we lost against, Chelsea, the champions of Europe, Liverpool, the Premier League.
Yeah,
these are the best teams in Europe. And exactly, we should have had more points. So shout out to Vieira. And if he approaches it like that, and when we go to the Amex, I am not worried. I am not worried at all, because we absolutely battered them. And it shows by the celebrations as well. That felt like a win to them, because they were completely out of it. They were out of it bar the last 20 minutes or last 10 minutes, where it happens anyways. Teams push onwards. But there's one thing that I want to talk about. And I think it's a good topic. It's the substitutions. I felt by bringing on Benteke and Kouyaté, it showed that we were happy with a 1-0 lead.
He slowed the game down. If we brought on Kiarte, too much.
Exactly. If we brought on Kiarte by itself or Benteke by himself, I would have said, all right, he just changed the personnel, fresh legs. But both of them coming on at the same time was not coincidence. How I saw it was Edward, he started yesterday. I felt, of course, he didn't have that many opportunities in front of goal. He pressed them well.
He was
the reason why we were playing on the floor was because of Edward, because he can play on the floor. So by bringing on Benteke, it automatically changed from playing on the floor, for me anyways, this is how it felt like, from playing on the floor to we wanted to maybe be more defensive and let's say there's clearances, Benteke can go and win onto them. Yesterday, Luca, I've been massively critical of the guy under Roy Hodgson. He started, I thought he was solid as well in midfield, pinging out passes,
very good.
Taking off Luca for Kiarte, that was a defense. Kiarte might be a better CDM as a defensive midfielder, but in Vieira's system, I don't believe he suits it. But maybe Vieira wanted to make things tighter, so he brought on Kiarte. I felt like them substitutions were defensive, but what do you guys think of it? I'll read out some of your comments as well, but I'll start with you, T. What did you make of the substitutions?
I think the only reason that I could see being a legitimate reason for him making those substitutions is because he knew that Brighton was going to try and play long ball and that they were probably going to work to get corner opportunities to be able to cross the ball into the likes of Duffy and Dunk. So what do? You bring in Kouyaté and Benteke, who are better in the air to help defend against those things. That's the only thing I can think of as the reason why you would bring those two in this situation. It's because they probably give us a better chance in the air defending the ball.
I think Edward was superb.
Yes.
I think running the channels, running the lines, you know, lay off here, lay off there, take a shot when he could. Superb. And he caused them no end of problems. Do you know what I mean? Like, Dunk and Duffy, who apparently are two world beaters, and I think Dunk's going to play in the World Cup for England. And
yeah,
I mean, Shane Duffy, I don't know what he was doing playing in Scotland last year.
Don't start me on Shane Duffy, honestly. Don't start me on Shane Duffy. He thinks he's bigger than he is. Who is Shane Duffy? Who are you? Like, who are you? After they scored the goal, he was just running around giving it all to the Palace. Who's that whole club?
They're all Chelsea. They're all Chelsea fans.
He was at Celtic.
Brighton's their second team, mate.
Yeah. But anyways, let's not get carried away. Go continue your points, Dan.
So, and I think that when he bought on Benteke, Benteke didn't do much because we were still trying to play the Edward system. Do you know what I mean? Of along the floor, here, there, everywhere. Kouyaté, again, like he's got an engine on him. And I think he slowed it down a little bit. And, you know, they did, you know, I mean, I know Guaita, like we touched on that about he hasn't been great, but he made a couple of good saves. Like the two big lads did get in and have a couple of headers that he's tipped over the bar and stuff. I don't know, man.
I was still impressed by both Luca and Edward, and I don't think it cost us the game. It didn't cost us a game.
But it was more of a defensive approach.
I told you who cost us the game, bro. Yeah. Pretty spoke about that. Neil says, although we had good possession, I don't think we created too many clear-cut chances. Would you agree with him there, T?
There weren't a ton. There weren't a ton of clear-cut chances. But my thing is this. I'm always for quality over quantity any day of the week. We could have created 18 chances and had one shot on goal. You know what I mean? But in this game, we had the penalty situation, which, you know, pretty much cut and dry. But we had a quality, super solid, like 90% goal opportunity that I would have taken that over a whole bunch of close call chances, like
90%
for 100%.
Any other player puts that away. You know what I was thinking? Like someone like Josh King, who was available on a free, puts that away. But
I think guys on our bench put that away. Cough Koff, Olise, and Raksaki. You know, both of them two. Not on the bench. Raksaki was on our bench, but Olise, okay, I think Schlupp he puts that away. Right, oh, Schlupp, yeah, even Schlupp
mate,
probably
puts it away. I think Jack Butland puts it away. Jack Butland puts it away, mate.
Yeah, I think he was disappointed that he wasn't even on target. It's like, you should have scored that, but the fact that he wasn't even, didn't go on target, it was like, yeah, there's something clearly wrong. But Vieira noticed it. We don't want to keep talking about Julian Ayew. Vieira's talked about it. Let's see what he does next game. Matthew says set pieces were poor.
Deliveries were poor.
That was only
Lucas'
bad part
delivery from set game. Pieces. Very
that was
poor.
Was bad part about his game. Lucas' were terrible.
Do you think Conor Gallagher should be on set pieces like permanently, wherever they are then? Because he's been solid with them so far. And he did take.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Couple yesterday, I was recording in the stand video, so I don't remember everything in particular. I do remember each performance, individual performance, but not every single situation on the pitch. I think I did see Conor Gallagher in some situations. They're rotating between the two.
Yeah, I mean, out of the guys that were probably on the pitch at the time, I guess you would go with Conor Gallagher. Patrick made a good point yesterday. He's like, honestly, right, the person that's been the best at those set pieces has been Gyro. But, yeah.
It'd probably be
Gallagher. I mean, unless you just want to – you know, I see a lot of teams just let their right back or left back take them too. I mean, they do a lot of crossing, so.
I think Lucas' set pieces were terrible, but he had a good game. He was good in the middle of the park. I think it's until Eze comes back, which I'm hearing is sooner rather than later, and he can take a set piece, you know.
Yeah. I mean, as far as corners are concerned, I definitely would probably give it to Gallagher. The one person I do want to see get a shot at like direct free kicks is Edouard.
Ooh, I don't know. I haven't seen him in that situation.
Hey man, I've seen him hit some ropes.
No, I haven't seen him, but if Edouard can take them, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be critical of Luka, but yeah, set pieces might not have been that great, but Luka hasn't been that great on set pieces for for a long time now. Just quickly, we'll talk about a couple other things before we move on to the Leicester game. So we got a comment from Film Review Show. We weren't incisive in the final third, press him into so many areas at the back, but Olise, Hughes and Raksaki, please. Who would Hughes come in for? We're talking about lineups for the Leicester game, but have you guys been surprised about Hughes' lack of game time as well? He hasn't had any game time so far for Palace. Seems like he's behind Luke. When does he get that game time? Because it seems like Luka and Kouyaté is a rotating midfielders right now. And it seemed like if it's not them two, then Gyro could come in. So where does Will Hughes fit into that unless we have injuries?
I think you'll see very soon. Like he'll probably make his debut against Leicester, come on as a sub, I would think. And he'll be in there. Like, you know, I think we've got to realise as well, like this team is still finding its feet a little bit. And look at the football that it's playing as well. It took Graham Potter. How long's he been there? 4 years? 3 years?
And they haven't beaten us once.
They haven't beaten us once. And it's taken him so long to get them playing against, you know, against not the best teams and getting up the league. Like, they're in a false position, mate. I think as devastating as it is to lose those 2 points and come away with a draw, I think there's a lot to be positive about. And I think that we've got to realise that we're only 5 weeks into the season and look how good we look.
Yeah, to be playing that good, that well, after such a short time is very impressive. I think a lot of it is credited to the whole two trainings a day model that Vieira has really been working on. I mean, I know a lot of professional athletes might not like it. A lot of those footballers might not like it. But, hey, you know, if it's going to get the chemistry together, you know, I'm all for it. But with the Hughes piece, man, I mean, what it seems like it could be is that what the fans see in him, PV doesn't see him for. I think he could see him as squad depth, and that's it. You know,
yeah, I thought he would start ahead of Keate. I don't mind Luka playing that role for you.
I think a lot of us fans might have thought that he was coming in to really play a significant role.
I think he hasn't had much training. He hasn't had much sharpness, so I think they're easing him in gently. So,
yeah, because he wasn't doing anything at Wofford, hardly at all during that whole process. They had him working with the young kids, and they said he was barely even getting reps there. So, I don't know.
Before we move on to the lesser game, quickly, Stan and T, your man of the matches for this game? Mitchell, that's the answer. Mitchell, what are you guys talking about? Mitchell, that's the answer. You know, we haven't talked about him, but I quickly wanted to mention him as well.
He was brilliant, mate. I think for me, Anderson was the man of the match. But Mitchell was brilliant. They were all good. Gay would have been up there as well had he not fallen asleep.
I was giving it to Will.
Will, yeah. I want to quick shout out to Mitchell before we talk about the Leicester game. You know what? It's reached that point now where we're going to talk about all the other players. But Mitchell is just going to, because he's so good every week, we don't have to talk about him because he just does the thing.
He's not getting talked about because he's the most consistent out there.
Exactly.
And he's in one of the least, I guess you would say, popular positions on the field. You know,
but it's very effective, though. Yeah, he is effective down there because overlaps with him.
Yeah, nobody tends to glorify fullbacks. You know what I mean? But that dude is playing great. He's not putting a foot wrong when he's out there. And the best part about it is we've seen his progression within this system. We could see how he went from not as comfortable on the ball in certain situations or a little bit worrisome at times to now he's playing. He's playing free flowing. You know, he just has no problem being on the ball, making turns, you know, dribbling. And he's got the ability, so why not? So, I mean, I'm super impressed by Tyreek Mitchell. I just want us to have that same type of balance and link up on the other side now.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about the Leicester game, I'll quick mention to our sponsors, FansBet. This season, we've teamed up with them. The fan-led sports betting company committed to supporting charities and causes which are important to the fans. Do check them out at fansbet.com. And claim your bet 10, get 10 plus 50 free spins. Welcome offer. The link for this is in the description section. Terms and conditions apply. Full details on the site. 18 plus, please do gamble responsibly. Visit begambleaware.org for more info and do check out FansBet Responsible Gambling Tools. And you'll also see me on their YouTube channel tomorrow talking about the Premier League in general. So yeah, make sure to check them out. They're helping us run everything right now. It ain't cheap to do so. So yeah, thank you to FansBet. Great sponsors. And yeah, check them out. Link will be in the description down below. Now, let's talk about Leicester.
Just quickly, there's a guy called Neil Dulake. He mentioned Joel Ward. I've got to say, he was brilliant yesterday. Really, really good. Yeah, battled all the way. Mm-hmm. This season, his game has gone up another notch as well. So
he made a couple plays on the ball that were really impressive. He had a nice little chop behind his back against a guy and made a play. And the one where he took on like three or four Brighton guys in order to keep the possession and got that ball out of there. I was like, man, he's been playing great too. It's just, I wish that, and I'm not saying that this is his fault necessarily, but I wish there was more link up between the right back and the right wing on that side. You know, a little bit more fluidity there that we haven't really had to this point.
I'm still the firm believer of Nathan Ferguson. If Nathan Ferguson comes back fit, I feel like I love Wardy to bits and he's done a great job. But with the system that Vieira's got, you can see in Mitchell, like he's good defensively and going forward. Wardy, he's been solid for us, but as with the Ayew situation, just because he's been half good, it doesn't mean that we can't do any better. Right. Which with Ayew's debate, I mean, if he's been half good anyway.
Nathan
Ferguson. But you know what? But you know
forget,
what I mean? It,
no, forget Nathan Ferguson. He's not coming, mate. He's done. He hasn't played in 2 years. Forget him.
Well, we're going to ease him in. And people are sleeping on him. If he reaches the form that he was at with West Brom, pushing forward and defending, he's quality. He's quality. And he's going to be massive for us.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It's gonna happen, man.
If he comes in and plays well, I can't wait to see the smile on Stan's face.
Exactly.
You know what? Yeah. I hope so, but I'm just telling you now, like, if you haven't played football for 2 years, you've been on the treatment table for 2 years.
Well, hopefully he comes back stronger. I still have belief in him, and if he does reach levels, trust me, he's gonna be like a new, he's basically gonna be a new signer. He hasn't played a game anyway, so I guess he's been signed, but he hasn't had his debut. So whenever he plays, it's going to be like a new signing. And I think it's going to be massive for us. Leicester. Now, I want to start this conversation off with, we've got so many draws now against all these top quality teams. And we lost against Chelsea and Liverpool as well. Looking at the Leicester game, is it now time for us to go and win these games? We've got some winnable games coming up. And starting with Leicester, what do you guys think? Is it like not a must win, but now we have to now push on and not use any excuses facing all them top eight sides, because Leicester haven't started that strong. They lost to Brighton, which was controversial because the referee was abysmal in the second half and they did score 2 goals. But surely against Leicester, we should be looking to win at this point.
I think so. They are a good side and we should not underestimate them. They've got players that can hurt Palace, but we should be looking to win. Like, we should be going out there with the winning mentality. They're playing in Poland on Thursday night in the Europa League. They're going to be tired. They haven't got their squad depth, isn't all there. You know what I mean? They haven't got the players to rotate. There should be no excuses. We should turn up the Selhurst and put them away. And that's not because they're a bad side, but we've got the advantage. We've had more days off, and it's time to show what Palace are all about.
And they're not on good form right now. They're not.
Yeah.
Like, what I mean, and I think that's important for us to take into account, is that they have a European game shortly. Literally a Thursday to Sunday, man.
That's not easy.
That's for what Stan just mentioned about a team with not a lot of squad depth to have 2 days before another match, and y'all not playing very well before that. That's tough, and they got to come into a place like Selhurst.
They're dodgy at the back as well. That Soyuncu's, he's been ponied like this year.
Yeah,
who's the other one that plays up with him?
Because
Vestergaard. Yeah,
people are figuring him out, man. People are figuring that Soyuncu dude out. He's a bonehead. Yeah. He's really a fake tough guy.
He's a waste man.
Yeah.
Whoa, man! I talk about him. You know, he's Turkish.
In footballing terms, he's not very good, is he?
He's still no. You know what's happened with him? He's just been out of form ever since the Euros, and like, yeah, I don't blame him, because the Euros absolutely. So we were awful in Euros. Yeah, we were awful tough. In Euros.
But watching come and have a blinder now after I called him away.
Man of the match performance: two goals, scores 2 headers in a corner, clean sheet as well.
But you can see how important Fofana was to their center back pairing, because that dude was extremely athletic and actually a really, really good player. Like, I know they're missing him like crazy right now.
So talking about the lineup now, do you think Vieira makes any changes after that performance? Because why though? Because there's only, of course, I know you're gonna talk about, but that's no rocket science. If you've been here since the start of the show, I know you're gonna mention, but don't you think the performance was good enough for the whole 94 minutes that, you know, he goes with the same lineup, because we absolutely dominated him?
No, not good enough. Are you in the stands or permanently suspended from Crystal Palace Football Club? Gone.
Oh, jeez, man. He ain't that bad.
Police saying for Ayew, or Schlupp, either one. What else?
That's the move I'm worried about. I'm worried they're going to put Schlupp in there in the starting lineup.
Yeah, let's start with one. Let's start with one at a time. So, Schlupp, why are you worried about that, T?
Because, like I said yesterday, if if with bringing Schlupp in that situation for IU last game, that's an immediate signal that Schlupp is now affecting the minutes of Olise and his development. And I think he needs to be in there playing. Simple as that. I mean, I think he needs it and we need it. You know what I mean?
I think he's got to go. Like, he's done.
Like, Schlupp doesn't give us very much. That's just my personal opinion. Compared to what we can have in a player like Olise on the pitch. I mean, the limited time that he's been out there, he's noticeably affected the game.
But I think,
honestly, like, we need to move away from Jordan Ayew. Like I said, this, like, Schlupp will come in. Will be
solid enough. How many times have you said it? Like, I've lost count. I've literally lost count how many times you said it.
He always puts.
He gave you forewarning, D. He told you.
Yeah, like, he's been telling me, like, for the last 40 minutes. We talk about Vicente Guaita. He still mentions Jordan Ayew. He's like, he literally wants him out of the team. He doesn't want him at the club at this point.
So I think either Olise or Schlupp. Olise, if he wants to go at him, who plays fullback for Leicester? You've got
Ricardo Pereira.
Ricardo Pereira and
On the left hand side, who is it? I'm not actually too sure. I can actually double check it for you right now to see who played against Leicester. But out wide,
Castagna plays fullback.
Yeah, that's a shout. But I'll double check anyways.
Castagna. Yeah, but are they I haven't watched much of them. So I'm just trying to think, like, how is what's it called? Like, Schlupp might be better because he's a little bit, like, there's a bit more solidity. But if you want to run at him and cause him problems, obviously get Olise in and just see what the kid can do. Do you know what I mean?
They've been shaky. I haven't watched all the games, Bertrand. But I've been reading Bertrand. Stuff and Ryan Bertrand. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. He's get Olise on to send him for a hot dog, mate. Because
he 100% will.
Yeah, because he will, you know.
Any other changes in midfield or in defense?
No.
I could see. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he made an adjustment in midfield, but I wouldn't say it's necessary at all. And then, of course, what we've been talking about with the possible goalkeeper thing, you know. But
I think Guaita deserves a few more games before he gets dropped.
I do too.
I don't think you'll drop him as well because it'll just look bad because it was his mistake in terms of him not being able to kick it out. And if he drops him because of just that, then it'll just have a negative effect basically.
But I would say is that he needs to have a convincing performance given those additional games. He needs to have some convincing performances. I mean, I would have considered this one to be a pretty convincing performance outside of that mistake, honestly. I mean, there was maybe one where he batted it rather than catching it, but he actually came for the ball a little bit better in last game too.
Yeah. Well, look, Nick is there. I'm going to try to get Nick on to the stream as soon as possible. Whilst I sort that out, Benteke, is there a shout for maybe Benteke starting up front if their defense is shaky?
No way.
Yeah, but if their defense is shaky, I'm just saying there was that. Why not? Why not? Go on.
Because he can't press. Because he can't press.
Run the lines,
because
mate.
He can't press.
See Edouard yesterday.
You want to have Edouard in this game to press this team from the back because they are not good at the back.
So Yonchu has been poor on the ball.
Neither of those guys are good. Neither of those guys are good.
So is Vestergaard. Vestergaard was poor at Southampton. I can't believe they bought him.
You need to have somebody in there to press those center backs. And in Vieira's system, that is the sole. That's one of like the number one duty of the center forward is to pressure just the center backs. If you watch, so I think it's definitely got to be Edouard here.
Well, look, we're joined by Nick. If you guys want to join us as well, the link is in the comment section to let us know what you think about the game. Nick, you joined us late. We're talking about the Leicester game now. But if you want quickly, what do you make of the Brighton game and talking about the Leicester game? How do you see that one going as well?
Well, I've just been talking about the Brighton game on the podcast that we've just been recording. I just wanted to... Dan, Ayew isn't that bad, mate. He has a 95% pass rate, 37 successful passes. Where did he pass it backwards? He doesn't matter. He's kept the ball in allowing other players to come in. He's having a bad spell like Benteke did. Everybody wanted to get rid of Benteke when he could shoot the toffee. Ayew hasn't scored for 748 games. Perhaps, yeah, that's the thing. Keeping Elise out. Elise is coming back from injury. So maybe they just want to keep him with kid gloves and use him as an impact stop. You saw the effect he had when he came in against Chelsea. Chelsea didn't know what to do with him. Can you have him on at the start of a game? Who knows? You want plan Bs to come on later and unpick sides if things aren't going that well. That's all I've got to say on that. Leicester game's going to be interesting because they're having a bit of trouble, aren't they? I think people are beginning to find them out. And they're having a few injuries. Leicester, the season they did really, really well was the season that nobody got injured for them. So they haven't got that consistency with their team. They've got a different manager as well. So they're going through a rough spell. But, yeah. Sorry, it's a bit of a rant.
Mm-hmm. No. I like it. I like someone who's on the other side with the Ayew situation. I just want to go back to that.
I'll tell you what's going to happen now. It's going to be like Benteke. He's pony for a long time. Contract up in the summer. Last 10 games. Bang, bang, bang. New deal. That's what's going to happen. And we're going to have to live with the nightmare of Jordan Ayew for another year or two.
Stan, don't you put that voodoo on us.
Nick, do you agree? Nick, do you think we've been overcritical of Ayew as a fan base after yesterday's game? Do you think the focus has been on him too much when it wasn't even his mistake that led to the goal?
Every team has to have an escape goat. And if it ain't Ayew, it's Ward. People started picking on Ward around me yesterday. And actually, halfway through the first half, they had no. But because Ward was the easy one to pick on, everybody's got to have somebody to pick on. And it's either Ward or it's Ayew. They stopped moaning at Ward yesterday because he was playing well. He had his best game in a very, very long time. Ayew, I watched carefully because I thought, right, he's going to get coated. And yes, he cost us the game with that miss. I mean, I've watched that shot back over and over again, and it's pathetic. But the fact is, he was there to make the shot. He's not as bad as everybody's made out. But yeah, just getting assists and a couple of goals. But at least I think. They don't want to ruin him like Ferguson's been ruined by injury, bringing him back too early, or Wickham, you know. I think they're a little bit worried about that.
Jay says, "What's the point of being able to pass but can't finish? He's a striker and a right winger."
He's not a striker.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not a striker. He can't even strike. He ain't a striker. He ain't a winger because he's got no pace on him. He can't put a ball in the box. I don't know what he does.
Well, yeah. Nick, do you start Ayew next game then? Do you start him next game? Because you seem like you're backing him, so I guess you do.
No, I'm not backing him. I'm just saying he's getting slagged off too much. I think he's over the top. You know, he's due some criticism, but I think he's overboard. I think he's being harsh. And as far as I'm concerned, that goal he scored against West Ham, he can't do any wrong in my eyes. Just that moment, in all them years of shiteness under Roy, that is a shining light, and we could never take that away from him. Like we could never take Pardew's goal against Liverpool away from him, even though we all hate him now, you know, because of what he did when he was here last time.
You know it's, what? It was so bad last season at one point that I actually thought I'd take him back.
Pardew.
I wasn't being serious, obviously, but like I would rather have watched us under him than under Roy Hodgson towards the end, you know.
I'd have taken George Burley back, mate.
I was on a verge of quitting watch your football. If Roy Hodgson was, I actually hated it. Like it reached a point where I love Palace, he actually made me like dislike Palace for no apparent reason. Like he was just so negative. Yeah. Like, what is the point of watching him? But anyways, I'm not here to talk about Roy Hodgson. Nick, before you go, score predictions.
We're at home, aren't we? What time kickoff? 2:00.
Wow, that's actually the score prediction.
Yeah, no, it does affect because the closer to lunchtime we play, the worse we are. I reckon if we're near lunchtime, we'll win 3-1.
3-1.
And I think Ayew will score 2 and he'll lift up a T-shirt that will say "F you, Stan."
Listen, I hope he does that. I hope he does that. I'll happily take it.
First of all, if he does that, Stan, there's no such thing as bad publicity, and Stan is massive.
Yeah, exactly.
If he does that, Stan,
I mean, like, who's Stan?
Exactly, he'd be like, Stan.
You know, Eminem, isn't it? It's your biggest fan. This is Stan.
But anyways, good chatting to you, Nick. Also, make sure to check out the podcast. Go on.
Yeah, hopefully see you Sunday after the game. I was going to get on with you last night, T, but A, there was no link. B, I was queuing up 90 minutes to try and get fuel. I don't know if you've heard what's happening.
Yeah, I saw you said
that. Yeah.
You had no link in the chat, man. What was going on?
I put the link.
They didn't want to hear you.
I tell you, I didn't do it multiple times, though, because I was going in on so many people during that damn chat.
Yeah. But like, it's a good show. If you haven't seen it, it's so good to watch after the game. It really is. Much better than radio. So I'll big up TM Patrick on that one.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, bro. All right.
Yeah, good job on TM Patrick for that. They've been solid for us this season. Not like Ayu. They've been Zaha and Conor Gallagher for us. Let's just say that.
But that was
Nick there sharing his thoughts on the game. Look, we've been talking about the Leicester game. If you've enjoyed this so far and if you're still here, make sure to leave a like as it helps us out massively. If every single one of you can do it, it takes a second. It'll be great. And whilst you're doing that, also let us know your score prediction because that's what we're going to move on to before we end this off. So let's start with you, Stan. Score predictions. Palace Leicester, Sunday, 2 p.m. kickoff. They got a game on Thursday night as well. So that should play a part in terms of tiredness. How do you see this one going?
I'm going to go 2-1 Palace.
2-1. I'll take that.
I think Vardy will score for them. And I think Odson, Edward and Zaha for us.
All right, cool. I'll take that. T, Ayu on score sheet? Is it going to happen?
I hope Ayu isn't on the squad sheet, first of all. But
he's going to start. Watch. He's going to start.
I think you start at least saying you put Roxaki behind him. That's what I want to see.
You'll be too overambitious. You know Roxaki ain't even in the squad right now.
If he starts many more games, then I might stop watching. That's how much I hate him.
You'll be watching. Don't say that. You'll be watching. Well, let's see your reaction when he scores a goal this weekend, yeah? T, he's scoring. Did you even say a score prediction?
No, I didn't say a score prediction.
Yeah.
I'm also going to go 2-1.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's the rule. You can't do it. You can't go 2-1. You said 2-1. You can't do that. So you're either going for 1-0 or 3-1 if you want to go with the score.
Here we go. 2-0 Palace.
Okay. Clean sheet. Back to clean sheets. Yeah. Who's scoring?
Vardy's going to have one ruled out on the offside. And we'll have another double by Edward.
Another double by Edward. I'm taking that. For me, I'm going 5-0 Palace. Edward hat trick. Mitchell, 2 goals as well. It's going to be crazy.
Make it 7, get Mateta and Ayu on the score sheet as well.
Wait a minute. Do you realize if we go 5-0 and get that prediction that D is going to have everybody... Wait a minute. Listen, I'm saying it right now. If we go 5-0, everybody's in the chat. This is LT Nation, PP. Y'all got to buy this man a pint. Everybody's got to buy him a pint. You have to. 5-0?
Yeah, mate.
We've beaten them 5-0 before. Let's go for it. They're going to be tired. Wilfred's is going to be crazy. Ayu's going to be running around like his Flash. I think we're just going to get a win. Let's go. I'm going to be positive. I need to be positive because I've been so dreadful the last 24 hours after that result.
Everybody in South London is going to be buying D pints.
Exactly. Let's go. 5-0 win. That's what I'm going for. We got Jay here saying 2-1. I'm not going to underestimate them. We got LT Nation saying 4-1. Palazar 2, Edward 2, and Gallagher. Shout out to Gallagher, by the way. I love him.
Yeah, brilliant.
I
don't fall in love with him, though.
I have. No one's going to break this.
They're gonna want
I don't care. Beautifully. I'll do a GoFundMe page, like whatever it is. I'll swim across the Atlantic Ocean.
We should start doing GoFundMe right now. Man. We should
exactly. I'm doing now. Whatever it takes. I'm doing whatever it takes.
Definitely spend the money on IU's wages, mate.
Wait a minute, Oliver said he'll start the fundraiser for D if it's 5-0.
Yeah, Conor Gallagher, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to buy him right now. But yeah, I'm going for, yeah, as I said, 5-0. And look, it's been a good show, nearly an hour's worth. We talked a lot about the Leicester game and also the Brighton game as well. Look, it was a disappointing result, but if you look at the performance, there's something there to build on from. We've got more winnable games coming up. We've faced some tough opponents. I think every opponent that we've faced so far have been in the top eight, which shows that they've had good starts. So hopefully from now on, we've got Leicester, we've got Arsenal coming up, even though they've been on form last two, three games. I think we can go get a result there. So we've got some good games coming up. Look, hopefully we start off with Leicester, 3 points, and win that game. And hopefully we'll be here next Tuesday talking about Wilfried Zaha's hat-trick and Jordan Ayew's brace. Until next time, up the Palace.
Up the Palace.
Up it.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.